So Ross Coulthart just called out Lou Elizondo as a likely gatekeeper of UFO legacy programs working on behalf of former United States Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. Has Lou Elizondo just been outed as a disinformation agent? So Ross Coulthart just came out on NewsNation with what I personally consider to be a rather unexpected shift in how he views Lou Elizondo, at least publicly, raising the kind of questions to the wider UFO community and general public that, frankly, many of us have ourselves been attacked over the years for asking whether or not Lou Elizondo represents a public node within a coordinated narrative engineering operation that, according to Ross, was likely being ran by former DNI director James Clapper in order to create a distraction and disinformation narrative around the UFO subject as a means of obfuscating legitimate legacy program intelligence from researchers and official investigative bodies. I'm not trying to get a copyright strike by News Nation, so I'm not going to play the clip that Ross is speaking about this situation on. But in the description of the video and in the comment section below, you will find a link to a post by UAP James on X, and he's clipped the segment where Ross is describing his position on Lou Elizondo as it is currently. So make sure you check out the link in the description box and in the comment section to actually see what Ross was saying. Now, Elizondo's own official biography and his memoir, Imminent, confirm that he served at the ODNI before moving to the Pentagon in 2008. In Imminent, he explicitly names Clapper as a boss-level figure in the ODNI context and praises him while describing his mentor, Devin Woods, whose promotion to DIA deputy director occurred on Clapper's watch as DNI. In the 2025 documentary, The Age of Disclosure, Clapper made his most direct public admission that the Air Force ran active tracking programs for anomalous phenomena over Area 51 and Western Ranges. Now, whistleblower David Grush went much further in January 2026 on Megyn Kelly's show, alleging on record that Clapper didn't merely know about crash retrieval programs, he managed them and placed people in critical roles both publicly and non-publicly. Liberation Times further reported allegations of a classified joint CIA Air Force program called Golden Domes, allegedly overseen by Clapper and ODNI deputy Stefani O'Sullivan, targeting UAPs for active retrieval. The Pentagon spokesperson confirmed in August 2022 that Elizondo was a paid U.S. Space Force contractor. His resignation was a planned, coordinated handoff, not a protest. His book was cleared by the Pentagon's own DOPSA review office, which is something I've been highlighting for several years now, that this is not an Edward Snowden or Julian Assange situation. This is not a whistleblower who resigned in protest as he claims. This is a coordinated operation moving an asset across the chessboard, the asset being Lou. He was always working for the intelligence community, and two people who really need to stand up and be honest about the original story are the New York Times journalists Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal, who authored the original 2017 article about Lou Elizondo and ATIP, because they know what was fabricated for the public, for narrative hygiene purposes, and maybe one day they will actually decide to be honest about their initial contact, communications, and agreements with Lou. And perhaps Ross will one day publicly explain what he meant when he said to me that he was told directly by Lou that ATIP was a cutout program, a fabricated program established on paper prior to the rollout of TTSA to the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, and was in fact not a real effort, but simply a narrative tool and an optics tool for the initial public conversation to get started, for the New York Times to have something to chew on, to get the ball rolling. Now, I do know Ross. I got connected to him very early on, known him for several years. I was the first to get him on for a UFO interview. We had many public interviews after that and countless private conversations. I was in a couple of private groups with him and other researchers. And I know personally that Ross has had some misgivings about people like Lou for quite a while. And this was for me one of the reasons why I began to distance myself from this whole movement and the people involved. I was becoming very vocal about my mistrust of Lou and the people around him. And I have to say that Ross was agreeing quietly in the background with some of the concerns that I and many others had and continue to have with Lou Elizondo. Now, he also did push back on certain things, and I'm certainly not saying that he was in full agreement with me privately, but kept a polar opposite public persona, not at all. But he did share some of my concerns, but didn't really put those feelings out there in a public way. And I get it. I mean, he's in a different sphere to me. I only represent myself, and I don't really mind making enemies for speaking my opinion. So in this recent News Nation piece, Ross also did say that Lou is beholden to his NDAs, that he's doing what he thinks he needs to do, etc., etc. But the problem is that a lot of people in the UFO community now strongly believe that Lou is a disinformation operative who has misinformed the public on multiple occasions. A lot of people in the UFO community now strongly believe that Lou has helped foster an environment of toxicity and coordinated gang stalking online and offline through back-channel alliances to extremely disturbed, mentally compromised individuals who many believe he gives preferential treatment to. So it's not enough to say that he's restricted by what he can or can't say, that he may have had a role in the legacy program efforts. We have to also look at what is happening around him circa 2017 to 2026 and how he behaves, because following his actions online paints a picture of someone trying to cause division in a clever, relatively subtle but undoubtedly noticeable manner if you're paying close enough attention. You know, I've got a lot of respect for researchers like Jesse Michaels and Chris Ramsey, UAP Gerb. I love what you guys are doing. But with respect, none of you have called him out. I'm literally the only one outside of Dark Journalist with a large platform, over 300,000 followers on X, and I'm standing up. I've been taking flack for this for years, pointing out the glaring red flags, but look at me. I mean, I'm doing fine. I called him out on Joe Rogan's podcast. You know, you don't need to be intimidated by him or scared about the UFO community backlash. Stand up, say something. Be leaders in the UFO community. Be the leaders that people want you to be. Because I know that you know this. I know that you do, because you have access to the same information that I do. We can't act like we don't know about the gang stalking and the disinformation and the alliances that formed with really, really bad, shady people. Contradictions over the years, the literal fake UFO photos. That's one of the big ones. It's overwhelmingly bad. So anyone glazing Lou in 2026 is just not thinking clearly at all. And if you have an influential platform, you should be saying something. My point is that the evidence has been mounting against Lou for years, and only an extremely small percentage of influential voices in the UFO community have, frankly, had the balls to say anything about that. Most have kept quiet. I mean, Richard Dolan, massive respect for him. But he too has decided to stay quiet on these issues, issues that deeply affect members of the UFO community who make up his audience, my audience, all of our audiences. You know, many of these people have been harassed and stalked and doxxed, abused, insulted, and threatened on a regular basis for years, simply for not trusting Lou Elizondo and being vocal about it online. And again, just to reiterate, Lou has provided multiple fake UFO images to the public, claiming them to be legitimate before being forced to admit that they were not UFOs. We had the two circular fields of opposite shades, giving the illusion of a large circular disc forming a shadow on the ground, conclusively debunked. He presented it in a congressional setting as evidence. When he was forced to admit it was fake, he then said that he was handed the image on his way to the meeting by a pilot. He didn't have time to vet it. But the problem with that is that people within his back channel circle claimed that he was circulating that image amongst these private groups beforehand. So he was not handed it by a pilot just before the hearing, and he used this as a piece of evidence in a congressional setting. I don't understand how even that on its own, regardless of any other behaviors, that on its own should invalidate any sort of potential for him to be an official authority on UFOs representing the US government in relation to disclosure. Because this is what's being talked about, that he might be a UAP czar Dr. Stephen Greer was talking about this recently, and obviously Ross Coulthart also highlighted that there is a position of authority that it seems like Lou Elizondo is being queued up to enter into. And that's a concern, because not only has this guy displayed these bad actor tactics online and disruptive tactics online, but he's literally putting fake images out there in congressional settings and on stage in UFO conferences, being debunked in less than 24 hours, and that's meant to be someone that we would trust. Forget any idea of him being a disinformation agent, even though it's extremely likely. Just focus on, do we want someone who can't even differentiate between fake and real to be representing the UFO disclosure movement? Because that seems like it's a nonsensical approach, and it kind of contradicts the entire idea that this dude was running something called ATIP, where his job was to ascertain the validity of real and not real UFO intelligence. I mean, he's holding pictures of fields up in congressional settings, believing they're UFOs. How are we supposed to take that seriously? And why should he be in any position of authority on this subject? So here is Lou at a UFO conference, paying members of the public in attendance. Lou presents this image as a mothership, saying he was provided this image by the pilots who actually witnessed the event and recorded it. The problem is that this image was also conclusively debunked as a lighting fixture on the ceiling being reflected on the window. It was debunked very quickly. Lou even admitted that this was the likely explanation. But the problem with that admittance is the fact that he said on stage to the paying public, the pilots gave him this image and gave him their testimony. But it's a light fixture. So that's bullshit. Those are big red flags that the general public can wrap their head around, but other researchers with big podcasts who have influence, they should know about the hate groups, they should know about the coordinated attacks, they should know about the hidden alliances that connect back to Lou, they should know about the preferential treatment given to those who acted as his attack dogs online, preventing dissent through brute force trolling, harassment, doxing, and overall abuse that caused many to leave Twitter or X, and some to even consider permanent options for their own lives. People's addresses were put out in secret dossiers by these guys. Mentally unstable people who are obsessed with Lou literally went to the houses of those they considered threats to disclosure to actively threaten them and their families. Lou will follow some of the most toxic trolls online who don't do anything other than attack people in just horrible ways in defense of him. I'm talking accounts that don't do any research, no actual work being done, just insult after insult, harassment after harassment. And not only will he follow these accounts, but he will also re-follow them when these accounts were inevitably banned for abuse and then they set up a new one. More often than not, one of the first followers to these new accounts would be Lou. And that's why I take exception to people who say, oh, Lou doesn't know. It's not Lou's fault that, you know, a bunch of fans have become zealots and they're ferociously defending him. You know, celebrities and people out there in the world who have a lot of fans and a lot of an audience, you can't be held accountable for every single one of them. No, I completely agree with that. But when you are actively engaging with those worst elements of your audience, and it's provable because you're following them and you're reposting them and you're commenting and you're re-following them once they reinstate their account, and if they have a podcast, even if it's like 500 subscribers, you go on that podcast and you promote them, like that's when you know that he's actively engaged in giving them an attaboy, you know, giving them a reward for doing this type of work. And that's how you know that it's not just some person who's got a, you know, slightly fiery audience and some of those fans are a bit crazy and it's not really his fault. No, he's actively engaging with these fans, particularly these people. And do you know about his weird connections to disturbing individuals within the OTO church? The OTO being the Ordo Templi Orientis Church, which is an offshoot of Aleister Crowley's Thelemite religion, and it became the OTO. So that's an interesting rabbit hole, his connections to a guy called UFO Satan, aka Sick-tanic. He's a metalcore producer and a high-level member of the Ordo Templi Orientis Church. Now, Lou gave this guy multiple shout-outs publicly over the years, helped put him into a bit of a spotlight for a minute as someone to listen to on the UFO subject. Many people can tell you that this is a very dark individual. Now, he's not an intelligent person, he's a thug with a hard-on for Aleister Crowley. If you search up some of Sick-tanic's music and look at the lyrics, you will see what I really mean. Lyrics involving children, which I'm not going to repeat here, but you can use your imagination as to why I don't want to repeat it, right? So look up Sicktanic's music, and this is someone that Lou was promoting and taking selfies with and giving shout outs to when they were doing the TTSA Talks podcast on Spotify. Sicktanic's UFO Satan got a shout out. There's been quite a few moments with Lou Elizondo and UFO Satan, so there's definitely a connection there. And it gets a little bit weirder because then you have Dan Zetterstrom, aka the Zignal, who went from a very normal lad in the UK, just like me, someone that I actually hung out with at a conference once, and he seemed pretty cool, to becoming one of Lou Elizondo's main attack dogs online. And then Dan gets married, and his marriage takes place in an OTO church, an Ordo Templi Orientis church, and his marriage is officiated over by UFO Satan. That's pretty fucking weird. And he's, you know, Dan's hanging out with Lou Elizondo and taking selfies with him and Lou at theme parks, drinking out of the same bottle of wine. I'm out here hanging with Lou, and then Lou's hanging with UFO Satan, and then UFO Satan is doing the marriage officiation for Dan, who hangs out with Lou. See how it's kind of like, what is this group? So a coordinated effort was put in place to prevent any dissenters against Lou from gaining influence, which of course ultimately failed, at least in my case, because even though these pro-Lou hate groups really, really don't like me, they couldn't stop me from going on Joe Rogan and telling the world what we know and what we've seen being done in the UFO community over the years. And I didn't hold back on what I know. So they couldn't stop that. And it's a step in the right direction to see people like Ross offering this narrative up to the world that perhaps Lou isn't the heroic UFO disclosure advocate that he wanted us all to believe he was. I mean, I saw the signs. Many of you saw the signs. And I spoke up before it was popular to do so. It cost me a few interesting contacts and connections, but I'd do it again because it's the right thing to do. To speak up when you feel you know something is wrong, to speak up when you have a platform that allows you to do so, and to speak up even when you know it won't be received well by everyone, because that's called having integrity and choosing it over popularity. UFOs are real. The cover-up is real. This isn't about becoming a skeptic. It's about critically thinking and not assuming that if we highlight clear problems with someone who's claiming to be a disclosure advocate, that this somehow makes us not disclosure advocates. I see a lot of people who say, oh, we're on the same team. Don't attack Lou. This is drama. Or he can make mistakes. But what if it's not drama? And what if we're not on the same team? You know, this subject is important enough for the deep state to insert disruptive assets, disinformation agents, into the mix. So why, when we start seeing serious red flags from a government operative, why would we not then allow our critical thinking to click into gear as we begin to recognize the signs of exactly that type of interference campaign playing out on the UFO issue within the modern information landscape, which is itself a veritable minefield of ideology and politicized information tactics that are deployed to keep us primarily separated and emotionally fatigued. I see the same playbook in the UFO subject, and I personally believe that Lou is one of the responsible parties for bringing and or increasing that energy within the wider conversation space on this issue. It has itself become tribalistic, and we need to reclaim the common ground that caused all of us to become passionate about this issue in the first place. Because it's not about these government operatives and their narratives. It's about each and every one of us, our relationship to reality, our understanding collectively as humanity. And we don't need a green-lit, government-approved, DOPSA-approved agenda to teach us about our place in reality. The war machine won't help us. We have to grow in consciousness, we have to grow in spirit, in empathy, and then we might be ready to step towards a greater understanding as a species, but not through these channels, not through the stale, institutionalized, 21st century old guard relic of authority, its foundations rotted from corruption. These are not the edifices of humanity's greatest potential, and we can't expect them to provide us with the greatest truths. They won't. The rest is up to us.